Okay, Morai Rabotai, we're continuing our discussion of Machalei Akum. Actually, Pas Akum is taking me much longer than I thought it would. But unless I get a strong, needle that someone is pushing in my back, I'm happy to continue at this pace. If the Olam wants... Again?
I'll be
mashlech kisam at Rebbe. Mashlech kisam. Okay, that's very much appreciated. The question is whether the hashlechas kisam that you'll do would be mosif any eish, will it make me burn a little bit, or will it just be like a heker? So that's a serious shayla that we spoke about yesterday, the machlokas between what I consider the Rambam and the Rashba, although what we pointed out yesterday is that Reb Binyamin Cohen in the Chogas Binyamin assumes that there's really not much of machlokes. I want to come back to that conversation later on today, but let's do Simen Kuf Yud Beis Se'if Yud. Simen Kuf Yud Beis Se'if Yud is based on a Mordechai. The Mordechai here in... The Mordechai here in Simen Tuf Lamed. So the Mordechai quotes. Let me just find the. The Mordechai quotes that Ma'isa Bolu Yodi Al Hatanu Sha'afu Bo Yisrael Gimel Pa'amim Biyom. A story happened that there's an oven that a Jew cooked in three times the same day, and their machshir the tanner ayadei zerikas kisim, u'bechol pam shahayu ofen hayu chozer lahasek hatanner lahachshir. Every time that they cooked, they would continue to be masik the tanner, to be machshirit, but ba'afiyah ha'acharona, they are not machshir the tanner at all. Right? So every time, they're cooking all day, and every time they're cooking, they're doing a hashlachas kisim, everything is grand. The last time that they do it, they don't. They're not being mashlach kisim. So the Mordechai writes, Horesi, I paskind, that even so, the last bread is going to be mutter, because since they're machsher it all the previous times, and in the last afiyah also, there's a tiny bit of the gecholim that remained. So therefore, it's certainly mutter, even though you're not zayrika kisim bach b'afiyach rona, because rikas kisim ain't no mile of lo morid. Afilo hachi we rely on the kibnei bado. So who adinami b'hai uvda came to k'tzas gechom min shar hasekos harishonos sheikh shira bo hatano harpas muteres mikomakom lo tzisi lasos maisel hatera. Basically, it goes like this. A story happened that they are cooking bread in an oven a few times during the day. At the beginning of the day, they remember every time they put a new batch of bread in, mashlech kisim, every time they do it, it's all grand. The last time they don't do it, the last time they're not mashlech kisim, says the Mordechai, you know what? I thought it's mutter. I thought it's mutter, the Mordechai says. Nonetheless, l'maisa, I didn't want to be makel on it. Lo ratzisi lasos maisa lehetera. I didn't want to be makel on it entirely. Shulchan Aruch quotes the Mordechai, but does not quote the last line of the Mordechai. The Mordechai says it's mutter, but I didn't want to say it's mutter. The Mechaber writes that im afu betanar de goy shalosh pa'amim, and the mashlech hakisim time one, time two, time three, they're not, it's mutter. Heter gomor. How can the Shulchan Aruch say it's heter gomor when the Mordechai himself said, I didn't want to be makel on this? That's the question. So, first I'll tell you what I think. Hander Lafi Anias Daiti is like this, gentlemen. We noted yesterday that Rishonim in Ashkenaz basically don't feel that Hashlachas Kisim really helps, or they don't feel Hashlachas Kisim really should help, nor thus there was a minhag that Hashlachas Kisim helped. No? That was the Lashon of Taisvis, that we rely on B'nai Bavel. The Lashon of the Rush is Mutav, Shiv Shogigin. Rishonim and Ashkenaz were not so into this. If that's the case, I would say, that maybe the Mordechai says, you know what? Lo ratzisi lahatir. In this case, that they throw the kissim time one, time two, I don't want to be Mekelzuk, the Mordechai. Because fundamentally, like, can anyone hear me? Apparently Rabbi Shlomovitz has difficulty hearing me. Can everyone else hear me? Not so good? Okay, I'm trying to do this. My kids aren't home now, so I'm trying to do this without my earphones. Let me plug in my earphones, which I think makes it better. Okay, one second. Can you hear me better now? Yes? Okay. So, good. So what we have over here is, again, the Mechaber quotes that it's mutter. The Mordechai himself never says it's heter gamor. The Mordechai says, lo ratzisi lemaisa, right? What's his lashon? Lo ratzisi lasos maisa lehetera. I would argue that since the Mordechai, like the Balei HaTaisus, like the Rush, feel that there's no svara why Hashlachas Kisim really helps, right? He, in the middle, I know what Yoni's thinking, in the middle he throws this idea in that, like, well, there's probably some coals that remain from beforehand, but ultimately, for the Mordechai, there's halacha l'maisa, the only reason why Hashlachas Kisim helps is because there's a minig. Kla Yisrael kach nahagu. If that's the case, that's because there's a minhag. So then the Mordechai says, listen, the situation where time one and time two, they're not time one, time two, they are mashlach kisim. Time three, they aren't. I could tell you it's mutter, but I don't really want to rely on it. If the heter is because of, like, mutter shu shayg again, that is just because of a minhag, so I want to minimize as much as possible, so I don't want to be mekel and gansen. But the mechaber, Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Karo, when he quoted this din of Hashlachas Kisim by Pass, he quoted the Svara of the Rambam. And in the Beis Yosef, he's into the Svara of the Rashba. The idea is that it adds a little bit of heat, like the Rashba says, or it's a heker, like the Rambam says. So if that's the case, so the Mechaber says, oh, for sure it's mutter, because it's lo gora from Se'if Tes. If we're saying that it's mutter l'chatchila because it adds something like the Rashba says, or because it's a heker, so se'if yud should also be mutter, and perhaps it should be even mutter l'chatchila. That's what I would argue. Now, the Chelkas Binyamin, in Se'if Katan Sadi Gimel, Rabbi Binyamin Cohen, he says that even though he assumes that Hashlachas Kisim is Heter Gomor in Se'if Tes, it's Mutter L'Chatchila, but in Se'if Yud, where there's no Hashlachas Kisim in time three, and you did it time one and two, so he says it's not Mutter L'Chatchila, because since the Mordechai himself did not want to rely on it in Gansen, the Mordechai said that Lamaisa, I didn't want to rely on it, so therefore it cannot be permitted l'chatchila. That's what the Chelkas Binyamin says. I don't know. It seems to me like we are comparing kasha and borscht. Right? I think there's some expression like that, by comparing kasha to borscht, whatever it is. But the point is, I would argue that the reason why Se'if Tes is mutter l'chatchila is only mutter l'chatchila, maybe, according to that Rashba. And according to the Rashba, Se'if Yud should also be mutter l'chatchila. In other words, if you hold that every twig that you throw in actually adds some heat, so l'maisa, Se'if Yud should also be mutter l'chatchila. The Mordechai didn't want to be mekel l'chatchila. I'll say, yeah, The Mordechai didn't want to be Mikl Chatzchila because the Mordechai is operating in a different halachic tradition. The Mordechai is operating in the halachic tradition, the Hashlachas Kisim. We don't really know why it works. Hashlachas Kisim, there's a minug. And that's why Klal Yisrael, right, decided, but if it's just a minig, it can't be l'chatchila. So that is my first comment. Comment number two. The Gra writes, interestingly, that this case is better than Hashlachas Kisim, no? You see that Gra on Aishchav? The Gra writes, Hasakos harishonos mo'ilos vahesek acharon yosem mikisim v'chata. Right, what's the case over here? They're baking all day. It's the big porini, the town oven. They're baking in it all day. So when they throw a twig in, so that adds to the fire, no? Throwing the twig in adds to the fire. That fire continues for bread baking session 2 and bread baking session 3. My understanding of the Gra is as follows. When we speak about Hashlachas Kisim, that maybe it doesn't help, we're talking about the Hashlachas Kisim when the bread is already in the oven. That's the case when it might not help. But if I throw the kisim in, I think we mentioned this idea yesterday briefly, if I throw the kisim in before the bread is in the oven, that means that I am making some of the fire. So then for sure it should help, no? Because making a fire is one of the malachos of Pass. That you make the fire, then you like move the coals to the side, etc., like we spoke about. So I think what the Gain means over here, that Hesek 1 and 2 is better than Hashlachas Kisim, means that making a fire is a bona fide melacha by Pass. And therefore, Hashlachas Kisim maybe doesn't help, Zoto Meret, Hashlachas Kisim, when the bread is in the oven, perhaps that doesn't help. But Hashlachas Kisim, before you put the bread in, right? Hesekos harishonos, the original fires are made, that is better than Hashlachas Kisim. That's what I think the pshat in the Gain is. That those original fires were made by the Jew, and that is better than the Hashlachas Kisim. The Chelkas Binyamin, I remember, by the way, when I was in Eretz Yisrael, learning in KBY years ago, so Rav Blachman and I didn't get along so well, but I still remember some of his one-liners. So Rav Blachman's one-liners is that you should always learn like some of the more recent Sfarim so that you can structure a shir by arguing on them. That was his contribution. I hope I'm not doing that with the Chelkas Binyamin. You should know I really respect the Sefer tremendously. When I argue, it's like here and there in details. I could tell you also Lamaisa that when I've asked Rav Schechter questions about Bishulei Nachrim, etc., so he said, "Take a look in the Chalkas Binyamin." He's like, he worked really hard on the sugyas. He worked out the things very well. I'm not saying that Rav Schechter endorses every line in the Chalkas Binyamin, Chas V'Shalom, but it's an excellent sefer. The fact that I argue on it all the time doesn't mean that I don't adrava. The fact that I argue it on the time, if anything, indicates more respect. So the Chalkas Binyamin writes on page 38, Be'emes, in the Biurim, Be'emes, Be'ikar Divrei Hagra, Shekasav Dohacha Odef Mikisim, Sarech Iyun. Why is it better than the Kisim? Why is it better than the Kisim? So I'll tell you the Pshat. I think the Pshat is that if Kisim is while the bread is in the oven, so who says that adds anything? But if the kisim is lighting the fire mitchila, so that for sure helps, because you're adding to the fire, and the fire is called a Jewish fire. Again, according to this, it could be that the
Rambam's Heker is different than the Rashba, and that they're talking about different stages, no? The Rambam is talking about when the bread is in the oven, and the Rashba is talking about when you're making the fire before you put the bread in. That's another way of slicing the cat, so to speak. But the point I want to get at is, I think that the Gra is saying that this din is l'chatchila. It's l'chatchila because Hesek Rishon and Hesek Sheni are more effective for the bread baking afterwards. That's a bona fide malacha. So this is better than regular Hashlachas Kisim. Aye, how come the Mordechai didn't want to be Mekel? So I'll tell you, because the whole Mordechai felt that the entire idea of Hashlachas Kisim Feshteach Nisht, the Mordechai was saying the whole din of Hashlachas Kisim is just based on a minhag. Good. So that is the first comment that we had today. Mr. Olson, you see, the way it works over here is I read the Chalkas Binyamin, I have some kashas, I say my part, then Yoni has his kashas on what I say. That's basically the way this works. Yeah. Right. We could debate this. I don't think so. I think because in the Rambam, first he has the Gimel Malachos at the beginning of the Halacha, and then he says, Heker. Yes, didn't we have this disagreement yesterday? Right. You're assuming that's going on the entire Halacha Yud Gimel, right? So I'm not going to agree with that. In other words, I would say that that's only going in the Afilu Lo Zarak, as opposed to the other cases, which is a bona fide mishtatef b'mlechas hapas. And that's the way I was reading the Rambam. Again, this is like what I said before. Chokas Binyamin says something, I say something, then you go back, right? Right, the gra, right, the gra, the, yeah. Yeah, I mean, maybe, I don't know enough about the methodology of the gra. My understanding is that the Gra is not really a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch at all. The Gra is giving us his own halachic approaches. So the fact that Shulchan Aruch says the Rambam and the Gra says the Rashba, grand. Like, that does not trouble me, ki who's that, actually. Okay, so this is the Mechaber. The Mechaber says it's mutter, it's heter gomor, as opposed to the Mordechai who says, I didn't want to be Mekel at all. The Rama adds, Yesh Omrim, that if they're machshir the tanur one time, and it does not go me'es va'es without hesek, even if they bake for many days, mikayach hechshir rishayin, so it's all going to be mutter. This is from the Ugur, in the name of Taisvis, that it helps kol hashavua ad yom rishon,
The Beis Yosef said about this that it is kula yisevehi, that it's being too mekel. But the Darkei Moshe says so long as it does not go a full day without the fire, so it's going to be mutter. Now, the OU has a bunch of truths. I actually couldn't find them at home now. I was looking for them. But when I taught this stuff probably 20 years ago, I have a note that in OU Tshuva number 49, they say, the OU put out a little kuntres of tshuvas on Bishul Akum and Pasakum. So in Tshuva number 49, they say that as long as the temperature remains at least 170 degrees Fahrenheit, that counts the entire time as it goes. In other words, they would fire these ovens up to a temperature of what? Like 500-600 degrees? Where do you bake? Baking bread is like at a pretty high temperature. 170-something is basically what we consider Yad Soledes Lahakel. The OU is saying that as long as the oven doesn't drop beneath that temperature, so you could rely on the Hechsher Rishon for as long as it does not drop beneath that temperature. That, again, I don't have the Kuntres Tshuvas at home, I just have my notes from X number of years ago where the OU said it's around 176. This is my understanding of it now in the year 2020. I do not understand this Ramah, however, if the din is based on Heker. You see, if I start baking on a Sunday, so then by Friday I'm baking, and we're going to say it's mutter. Why? Because it didn't go me'es la'es without hesek. Now, if I'm in the Rashba world, so in the Rashba world, I really understand this to some extent. I made a fire. I contributed to that fire. The fire is still going. Right? I don't know if you remember, there used to be a song, "We didn't light the fire. We didn't start the fire." Right? But I started the fire. It's going, it's going, it's going. I could understand that. But in the world of Heker, I do not really understand why my bishul on a Friday afternoon should be mutter based on the fact that someone threw a kissem in way back when on way back in on Sunday. And the Gain over here in Oschof Aleph writes that the reason why this helps is because what Yoni called a few minutes ago a Rashbadik Svara. Absolutely. According to the Rashba type of Svara, this halacha is eminently understandable. But if I am working in a Heker, Rambam sort of way, so ani lo mevin this ugur that the Ramah paskins like. Good? Now, comes along the Shach. Shach, as you know, is the coolest person ever. He lived between the years 1621 and 1662. The Godless of the Shach is the man lived for 41 years. He wrote the Shach, unbelievable Bekiyas. Of his 41 years, he spent around 7 to 10 of them on the run because of various persecutions, etc. Shach was a Gaon Olam, unbelievable. The Chidah writes that the only way the Shach was able to have so many Svarim is because he knew a special Shem Hashem that he could pronounce, and it was called the Shem HaMetzia. The Kaddish Baruch Hu would give him Svarim that would help him find Svarim. I had a different theory once because there was a journal that came out in the 1880s where they found some letters between the Shach and the head of the University of Vilna, who was like a Christian, whatever, and the Shach is basically asking him for books. So that's my theory. But okay, whatever. So the Shach over here quotes from the Sharei Dura. De'imu mesupakim hichshir yisra hatanur olo shari, because it's a safek derabonon, sveka derabonon lahakel. If you have a shayla
whether the Jew was machshir the tanur. I bake my challah in the town oven on Friday. And by the time I bake my challah, people don't remember. Did a Jew show up on Sunday and threw a twig in or not? Zach the shachet mutter. Safek derabbanan lahakel. And this is what the Ramah paskins in Tiras Chatos and all the Achrainim paskin this way as well. Kach katuv b'shach. This shach, gentlemen, is hard to understand. You know, we have rules of how you go about paskining svek svekas. In Yerideya Kuf Yud, this is the part that we really don't do in Yeshiva when we do Yerideya. The end of Kuf Yud, you have the Klalei Svek Sveka. Yimamish, you have to be such a Talmud Chacham to understand this stuff. Right? So, in Klalei Svek Sveka, you have all the rules about how you go about answering, how you go about dealing with Svekas. And in Klalei Svek Sveka, the Shach in Oz Chaf of Klalei Svek Sveka, the Shach tells me that I do not say Safek derabbanan lahakel b'makom cheskas iser. If you have something that you know is usser, it's an iser derabbanan. You know the iser derabbanan is there. You have a Safek. Maybe that iser derabbanan went away. Says the Shach, you cannot be mako. We do not say Safek derabbanan lahakel b'makom cheskas iser. And the Shach writes there in Klolos Veksveka Os Chaf, it doesn't matter whether I'm talking about an iser derabbanon sheyeshlo ikar min haTorah. Certain iserim derabbanon are modeled after dinim d'oraisa. No, carrying in a karmelis is an iser derabbanon that's modeled after the din d'oraisa of carrying in rishus harabim. You have also Yisurim D'Rabbanon She'ein Lahem Iker Min HaTorah. Certainly Yisurim D'Rabbanon, there's no source for it at all in Judaism, in Biblical Judaism. Zach D'Shach, it doesn't matter. I do not say Safek D'Rabbanon L'Hakel B'Makom Cheskas Iser. The Pri Chodosh, right, again, if you the Reb Cohen in the Badei HaShulchan, probably the most impressive part of the Badei HaShulchan is his essays on Kuf Yud. You have to be such a Talmud Chacham to write on this stuff. So it's page Reish Mem Aleph of Volume 2 in Taruvus. So he points out that, yeah, the Shach says you don't say Safek Rabbanon Lahakal Makam Cheskas Iser. The Pri Chodesh and other Achreinim disagree. And they say that we do say Safek Rabbanon Lahakal Makam Cheskas Iser. This issue probably depends on a larger question in Judaism. When I say Safek derabbanan lahakel, what does that mean? Does that mean that it's heter gomor, nothing to talk about? Safek derabbanan, go on your gleeful way and do it. It's mutter, it's mutter, it's mutter. Or do I say, you know what? Safek derabbanan lahakel, if you gotta be mako, you're mako. But it's not so pashut, it's not so glat. Not, right? Safek derabbanan lahakel isn't mutter in Gansen. It remains a teeny bit of a shaila. If safek derabbanan lahakel means that it remains a teeny bit of a shaila, so whenever I have a shaila, chazaka wins, no? But if safek derabbanan lahakel means it's heter gomor, so then, even if there's a cheskas iser, still safek derabbanan lahakel. Right, this issue is probably a machlokes harishonim. Is safek derabbanan lahakel mutter legamrei? I remember Rabbi Sabolovsky speaking about this. Oh gosh, probably 30. Rabbi Sabolovsky used to give chaburas in room 101, of course, in the YU based medrash after 10 o'clock Ma'ariv on Thursday nights, assuming he didn't have a date. This is the way it used to work. So I remember Rabbi Sabolovsky speaking about this, I don't know, probably 25 or so years ago, in one of his chaburas. Is it mutter to enter a safek derabbanan lahakel lechatchila? For example, we paskin that Sfiras HaOmer Bisman Hazeh is Dirabbanan, no? Am I allowed to deliberately count Sfiras HaOmer during Bein Hashmashos? Suffolk! Suffolk Dirabbanan Lahakel. The din of Sfiras Dirabbanan. Bein Hashmashos makes it a Suffolk. Should be mutter to count Sfira during Bein Hashmashos L'chatchila. Yeah, that's what Taisus and Menachos writes on Daf Samach Vav. But the last ran in Psachim tells me that no, you shouldn't count Sfiras HaOmer during Bein Hashmashos, even though Sfiras are Drabonon. Don't get involved in Sfakis. Don't get involved. So there's a Shaila, Rav Gustman, Zechrona Levracha. I think it was his Yartzeit last week. I subscribed to something on Twitter called Yartzeit.com or something. We'll tell you whose Yartzeit it is every day. So Rav Gustman, was a Rosh Yeshiva, is he a small yeshiva in right on Rehov Ramban, in middle of Rechavia. Rav Gustman had a yeshiva over there. He was a guy in Eilam. He wrote the Kuntrasei Shiurim on various Masechtos. So Rav Gustman has this chakira, the end of his sefer on Kedushin. His suffix Rabbanon Lahakel Mutter in Gansen. Or suffix Rabbanon Lahakel Mutter with a krechts. And if it's Mutter with a krechts, that means Chazaka should govern. And that means that you shouldn't enter a situation of suffix Rabbanon Lahakel. Try to avoid it as much as possible. So here's the problem. The Shach over here paskins that if I have a Shaila about whether the Jew was machshir the oven or not, I'm baking my challah on Friday, I don't know whether anyone came on Sunday and was machshir the oven, Zak the Shach, Safek Drabonon Lahakel. Whoa, Safek Drabonon Lahakel? Isn't it Cheskas Isser? The bread should be Pasakum. Narvas, you're saying that you were Machshirit Al Yedei V'Hashlachas Kisim. Right? It should be Usser. It should be Safek Rabban L'Hakam Makim Cheskas Isser. No, Safal Kach, I sent you. Did anyone find this? The Chochma Shlomo on the back of the Shulchan Aruch? Was anyone able to find it? Okay, so again, in my Shulchan Aruch, I have like this thing in the back. My father gave me some money a couple of weeks ago when I was out in Lawrence. So I went to this farm store. I bought myself a new Friedman Shulchan Aruch on these Simanim. So in the back, there's the Yalkut Mefarshim, and he quotes from the Chochmas Shlomo that it's not so pashut that we should say Safik to Rabbanan Lahakel for the following reason. Very similar to what we were saying until now. The Mishnayos say, Safik d'oraisa l'hachmir, Safik d'rabbanan l'hakel. Grand. Let's say I'm tame with the tuma d'rabbanan, and I'm not sure I went to the mikvah. So we should say Safik d'rabbanan l'hakel, no? Now, it's cheskes iser, cheskes tuma. That's one issue. Another issue, says the Mishnah L'melech in Hilchos Mikvais, is the Lashon of the Mishnah is Yorad Litbol. Yorad Litbol means that you know that you went to the mikvah, but then you have amnesia. Did I do a good job or not? Did I completely go underwater or not completely go underwater? Yorad Litbol. The only time I say Safek Rabbanon Lahakel is Yorad Litbol. That means that you began the process of Tahara. You're not sure if you completed it. But if I have a Shaila in Gansin, whether I was Mechata Begecholim, that's not Yorad Litbol. I don't know if anyone ever did it. So I have two problems on this Shach. The Shach is Seiser himself, because the Shach tells me I don't say Safek Rabbanan Lahakel B'makim Cheskas Iser against the Pri Chodesh. And also I have this Mishnah L'melech that I am only Mekol in the case of Yorad Litbol. Now, the probable answer over here is that if you look in the Pri Megodim, the Sifsei Das Oschaf, he just adds a line, Kol Shekein Pas Dehekilu Kama Kulos. It could be that ordinarily I won't say suffik to Rabbanon lahakel, but makim cheskas iser. But by pass, it's there are many coolers, probably based on what we've been speaking about the entire July's man so far, that maybe the iser of pass isn't lonis pashit b'chol Yisrael. Maybe the iser never set in. However, we see by bishulei nochrim a kula also, no? Kuf yud gimel se'if yud aleph. Kuf yud gimel se'if yud aleph. The case is a Jew puts food on the fire, the guy is watching the food, and the guy takes it off. You're not sure if the guy took it off before it reaches Maichu ben Jerusai, in which case the food is kosher, if the guy took it off after it reached Maichu ben Jerusai, so suffik d'rabbanan lahakel. Now that case I understand, because that case is cheskas heter. The Jew put the food on fire, the shayla is, did it become trafed up? So I say, suffik d'rabbanan lahakel. But then the Rama adds, v'chein kol suffik bishol akum is mutter. And the Shach writes, kol suffik bishol akum, perish, yesh suffik im chitoy Yisrael ba'ar. There's a suffik if the Jew did chitoy. How could that be mutter for suffik if the Jew did chitoy? That is, suffik d'rabbanan lahakel b'makim cheskas iser, where the Shach is not mekel. That's the Taz in Eis Yud Aleph, Nachon. I don't know that the Shach in Kuf Yud Gimel argues on that Taz. It could be he does. But if you argue on the Taz, you have to learn what's the Pshat in the Ramah. When the Ramah writes, V'chein kol suffik bishol akum uki yaitse by his mutter. Any suffik of bishol akum is mutter. Hard to know what that means. So I thought maybe the Pshat is that there's an extra word vav. An extra vav in the Ramah. I thought maybe the Pshat is kol suffik bishol akum ki yaitse bo. Then I would understand it. Not with the vav. But I don't have any manuscripts of the Shach over here in Yerideya. But presumably the Taz is just saying good pshat in the Ramah, no? How could I be Mekel? How could I be Mekel? Notice, I can't say it's just a din in Pasakum, a special kulon pas, because Lunis Pashet, because I see that the Taz understands the Ramah and Kuf Yud Gimel the same way. So in the Chokas bin Yomin, and now I'm going to quote him and not disagree. In Chokas bin Yamin, on page Kuf, he writes that, he quotes a tshuva of the Shoal Meshev, Rabbi Yosef Shoal Nathanson, the Rav of Lvov. The Shoal Meshev writes in a tshuva that all Yisurim Mishum Chasnus, there's more room to be Mekel. What's the concern of Bishol Akum? You might intermarry. But it's almost like Bishol Akum is a gezeira unto intermarriage. Unless you know for sure that there is an issue of chasnus, you can presume that it's going to be mutter. Any suffik is mutter. Right? In other words, I think what he's saying is that I say suffik d'rabbanon lahakel even b'makom cheskas iser when it is an iser mishum chasnus. I think that's the way you have to learn it. Again, or else I don't really understand the Shach. Right? The Shach paskins in klala svek sveka that you don't say suffik d'rabbanon lahakel b'makom cheskas iser, that suffik d'rabbanon lahakel isn't heter gomor. By the way, this shaila comes up, no? Let's say you have a bar mitzvah boy who looks at the calendar and he starts preparing for his bar mitzvah and he starts preparing Ichveis Pashas Kiseitze because that's what he thinks his bar mitzvah is. Kimtzigain, he was looking at the calendar based on the English date of his birthday, and Pashas Kiseitze, he's still a katan, no? His real bar mitzvah is supposed to be kisavo. What do you do? It's not such an uncommon shayla. It's happened too many times. If any of you teach bar mitzvah boys, be really careful before you start teaching the bar mitzvah boy to ask him, tell me, when were you born? Let's look it up. Let's make sure you get the right bar mitzvah parasha. because too many bar mitzvah boys have gotten the wrong bar mitzvah parsha. So what do you do in this case? The kid mamish spent months, amen, right? Like, practicing, right? My sister still knows my bar mitzvah parsha by heart, right? You practice for months and months and months. What are you going to do? You're going to tell the kid you can't lane? Right? Now, be'etzem, these cases, it's a few days before your bar mitzvah. It's really a suffix whether you're a gadol or not, no? In all likelihood, you have simonim, but you might not have shanim. No? The reason why we start putting on tefillin a month before the bar mitzvah is because there's a suffix. Maybe you're already a gadol, no? That's probably the pshat. So it's a suffix. May ikar hadin a katan is oila leminyan. Right? May ikar hadin a katan can lane for the tzibur, no? Do you allow them to do it l'chatchila? You allow the katan to lane? Do you say this is not really l'chatchila, this is b'diyavid, the kid spent months preparing? Right? All these issues have to be factored in when you have this shayla of the bar mitzvah boy who prepared the wrong parasha. I think Aryeh Leibowitz has a nice shiur on YU Torah about this case. It's mamish, it happens like yeder mitvach and darnishtik. It happens like all the time. But probably not darnishtik, no? Or probably not mitvach. Right? Probably doesn't come up on Wednesday so often. But that's a different story. Okay. So we have the Shach. The Shach says that we're mekel on Safeg Dirabonon Lahakel, even though it's Cheskas Iser. It's a teeny bit of a collector's item. You got to figure out why. It could be Tzedin only in Pas Akum, not by Bishal Akum. Maybe the Shach would argue in that Taz, in Kuf Yud Gimel. But I don't know any other way of really interpreting the Ramah besides what the Taz says over there. So I'm not sure. Okay, yes, sir. Right, the Shach is commenting on Ov the Avodah Zarah, yeah. The Shach, if you have that girsa in the Shulchan Aruch and an explanation of that girsa, the Shach says only Avodah Zarah, so he would learn that Iser of Pas Akum is outside by the Zara, yeah. Yeah, because that's based on Chasnos, right? The Sholmesh is saying it's all based on Chasnos. Correct. Yeah, again, I don't know. I don't know what to do with this Shach. This Shach is really very, it's really very difficult. And Adarabba, if it's a dinach shash of Avodah Zarah, so we should be more machmir, no? Like, it's really, it's not pashat. Okay, let's go on. We have a few more minutes. Sif Yud Aleph. Pascha Yisrael Shafo Goy below Chitui, the Yisrael below Kisim is Usser. Are you not allowed to sell it to Goyim? Maybe the Goy will go and sell it to a Jew. Right, so we have it in a Pascha Yisrael that a Goy bakes. And the Jew doesn't do anything, so such bread is Aser. The Taz over here notes that the bread is Aser Mishum Bishol Akum, not Pas. Remember, the Kula of Pas is because it's Chaye Nefesh. Chaye Nefesh only applies if it's bread that's owned by a Goy. But if the Jew owns the dough itself, let the Jew bake it. So the kul of chayin nefesh doesn't apply. Maybe that's what we said. We pointed out that Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva in Simin Memhei, where he said that maybe there is a kul of chayin nefesh if you run a very big business and you can't find enough Jews to do the baking. Okay. So you have bread, which is governed by the rules of Bishul Akum, not Pas Akum. This is the way the Taz learns the Se'if. So you're not allowed to sell that bread to a goy, because the goy might go and sell it to a Jew. However, if you break the bread up into small pieces, in the way that no one buys bread like that, then you're allowed to sell it, there's no chash. In other words, this all comes from the Mordechai as well. Right? The Mordechai there in Tuf Tuf Lamed says that you can't sell the bread to the guy because of the concern that a Jew might buy it afterwards. The Mordechai proves this from a Gemara in Psachim, but Be'etzem you could probably prove it from a Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Samachay that we already had, where the Gemara speaks about if you have a house or a silo of wheat and some Yayin Nesach falls on it, that you're not allowed to sell it to Goyim. Something that's usur to a Yid, you can't sell it to a Goy because of the concern that maybe the Yid will buy it from the Goy. So the Pashtus in all of this din is, it's a din of Bishul Akum. Pascha Yisrael Sha'afa Nachri is a din of Bishul Akum. However, as we noted then, Rabbi Simon had this in his Maimer in Beis Yitzchak, volume 32. And the Chokas Binyamin references it over here as well. It's not so pasha that Pas Sho Yisrael Shafa Akum has it in the Bishal Akum. It could be that the difference between Pas and Bishal is based on the substance and the way it's cooked. Right? To assume that Pas Sho Yisrael Shafa Akum is considered Bishal is assuming that Pas and Bishal are not a fundamental distinction, and this is bread, this is cooked food. It's a little more flimsy. We spoke about this way back when. And the Beis Yosef over here in quotes from a Rivash that Pas Sho Yisrael Shafa Nachri is really considered Pas. Nonetheless, the Pas Sho Yisrael Shafa Nachri is Pas, but it's considered Pas Bal Habayis. Let's explain. In their times, they had one oven in the entire community, and the guy, we'll name him Slobodan. I always like naming Goyim Slobodan, because you call a guy, you know, Jim. There are Jews who are named Jim also. I don't know a single Yid who's named Slobodan. Oh, but not Slobodan. Oh, okay, right? So that's my raya. I don't know. I think the Gemara in Gittin speaks about certain names which are shameless mufhakin, names which are absolute proofs that you are non-Jewish. No? So you have Slobodan. Slobodan bakes bread for the entire town. The Jew gives dough to Slobodan to bake for him. So the Rivash works very hard. What's the heter on this bread? And he says, like, maybe it's considered paspalter, etc. The Jew can't get... It's michok ha-medina. It's the law that only Slobodan's allowed to bake. It could be that the reason why the Rivash is working so hard on this Shiloh is because he feels that this is called pas balabayis. It's pas balabayis in the sense that a palter means someone who bakes bread and will sell it to everybody else. But in this case, I give you dough, you bake the bread for me, right? He gives you dough, you break it, you bake it for him. She gives you dough, right? The baker is baking for everybody, and therefore it could be it's like pas balabayis, in the sense of maybe there's going to be some real kiruv das, because he's going to bake extra special geshmaka bread, right, in order to entice me to marry his daughter. Something like that, no? So it's entirely possible to learn this se'if, that when the Jew's bread is baked by the goy, you're not allowed to sell it to a goy because the goy might sell it to Yisrael, that what it means is that this bread is really considered pas bal habayis. You see, if the bread would be considered, right? Again, the Taz says that the bread is bishul akum. It could be that the bread is pas palter. If the bread is pas palter, why can't you sell it to a goy? At least for Ashkenazim who hold that pas palter, you're allowed to buy even if there's a Jewish baker. The only reason why it should be usser is if you hold this is really Pasbal Habayis. He's baking it for me. Since I give the dough to him, he's baking it for me. That's Pasbal Habayis. And then this se'if would be against the ra'ah that we were talking about right before Shir began, because the ra'ah is mekel on Pasbal Habayis, right? In a situation where there's no one around. So you have to say that there are other people around. There are other opportunities to get bread, and therefore you're not allowed to sell the bread to a guy, because maybe the guy will sell it to another Jew. This halacha, the pashtus, is that I'm not even allowed to sell the bread to a goyisha bal habayis, because people might think that this goyisha bal habayis purchased the bread from a palter, and they might be mekel on that as well. So again, so this is all in the Mordechai. All the dinim that we're talking about today begin from the Mordechai. The Mordechai says that you're not allowed to sell the bread to a goy, because maybe the goy will go and sell it to a Jew. If they break the bread up into small pieces, it depends. Are these the type of pieces that people sometimes buy, or are these the type of pieces that people don't buy? Next halacha, Se'if Yud Beis. Se'if Yud Beis is interesting. Also, based on the Mordechai, this is a Mordechai though in Tuf Lamed Aleph. Right, the case is that the bread is being baked in the Goyisha oven, and the bread is already somewhat baked. It's Karmu Pnei HaPas. Karmu Pnei HaPas means that it begins to get a crust on the outside. That is the equivalent halachically of Michael Ben Jerusoi. Ben Jerusoi is a noted bandit. No, we call him the fleeting fugitive. This Ben Jerusoi guy breaks into people's homes. He sees that there's food which is cooking. He's hungry. He needs his kaiches in order to continue stealing. So he'll eat partially raw food when he breaks in. Michael Ben Jerusoi is either food that's cooked a third of the way or food that's cooked half the way. It's relevant in Hilchos Shabbos, like we spoke about beforehand. And it's also relevant for Bishul Akum. It's relevant for Bishul Akum, which is that if a Jew cooks food to Michael Ben Jerusoi, the Jew cooks the food and it's a third of the way cooked, according to Rashi, or half the way cooked, according to the Rambam, it's mutter, even though the goy finishes the cooking. What about the opposite direction? What about if the goy cooks the food k'maychol ben shusai? Can the Jew then go and be machshir the food? You come home, and the maid already put up the pasta. And the pasta's been cooking for a few minutes, no? It's not fully edible, but you know, it's not fully edible in the sense of pasta gets softer and becomes more edible over time, but you could eat crunchy pasta. It's Maichu Ben Jerusoi. Can you fix it? Can you stir the pot? So that's a Machlokes HaRishonim. The Rosh and the Rashba disagree about that point. And that's quoted in Simen Kuf Yud Gimel Se'if Tes. In Kuf Yud Gimel Se'if Tes, the Mechaber holds that if a goy cooked food k'maychol ben jerusoi, and the Jew then comes and does the rest of the cooking, you should not be mekel on that. You could only be mekel on it if it's Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, Hefsed Meruba. Those are the only cases you could be mekel. But ordinarily you can't be mekel if the goy cooked food k'maychol ben jerusoi and the Jew finished it off. That's what the Mechaber says. The Rama says you can be mekel over there. What about by bread? What about if a guy begins baking the bread, and the bread is now at the stage of karmu pnei hapas? It gets a little bit of crust on it. That's the equivalent of Michael Ben Jerusoi.
is it mutter? So the mechaber over here and say if Yud Beis is mekel on karmu pnei hapas, that if the guy cooked it and it begins to develop a crust, then it's mutter. If the Jew finishes it off, yesh la'ayin, and I guess it's a little bit too late for me to conclude the shtickle Torah, so we'll leave it with a question. They teach you in Azrieli graduate school that if you want your students to remember stuff, you should leave shir with a question, and that gets people to think about it, right? And that will continue the learning process. So the thing to think about is that we have a contradiction in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Yud Gimel is only mekel if the guy cooks something kamaychu ben drusay and then the Jew finishes it off. In Kuf Yud Gimel, we're only mekel if it's Erev Shabbos or Hefsa Meruba. Yet in Kuf Yud Beis, in exactly the same case, the Mechaber is mekel entirely. Again, we have all the tools to answer this question already. We've spoken about all these svaras. Be'ezras Hashem, we'll continue with this tomorrow. Okay, Chevra. Questions, comments, observations. Rabbi Shlomovitz, yes, I have to respond to your email, I know. Yeah. So again, this is a case of chita begecholim. You like move the coals off to the side or hashlachas kisim. Somehow the Jew gets involved in the process after it's partially cooked. Is that enough to be machshir the bread? That's the question. And we'll have to talk about it gabong tomorrow. What else, gentlemen? Okay, chevra. Yashikayach, have a good day. And we'll continue studying Hashem's Torah tomorrow.